after they play, you have your say. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
What an incredible game we have seen at Hampden. It finished Celtic 6, St Mirren 2. But that doesn't even really tell half the story, because it was 2-2 at the end of 90 minutes. Celtic scoring 4 times in extra time. There was a mistake right at the start of the game by St Mirren's stand-in goalkeeper Ryan Mullen. He got injured and a 17-year-old had to come in and replace him. It has been quite the day. That means Celtic will meet Dunfermline in the Scottish Cup final to cap off this season, which... the season has pretty much been summed up by that 90 minutes and then extra time that we saw today, Hugh.
I'm with Scott Allen on this one. Scott said he never wants to predict the outcome of a football match in this country, certainly for the remainder of this season. What can you say? They scored 6 times, 5 different goal scorers. They're in the cup final, Martin O'Neill versus Neil Lennon. There is still the possibility of a league and cup double. They'll go away and assess the performance, and good luck with that, because it will take longer to assess the performance than it did to play the game. But another wonderful story, a whole series of stories, a young goalkeeper of 17 who did very, very well, but was as bewildered as all of his teammates when Celtic scored 4 first half goals in extra time and 4 really good finishes. So I don't know anymore.
0141 951 1025. We are taking your calls all the way through until 6 o'clock. We have a lot to get through as well, so make sure to get those calls in nice and early if you want to get through. Let's speak to Josh, who is a Celtic fan, up first. Josh, what on earth do you take away from that game today?
Well, it was bonkers, wasn't it? But I think it masked the problems going into extra time. I think the 90 minutes highlighted again what we've been accustomed to seeing from Celtic recently. They were kind of, you know, trying to close the game out at 2-1. It was getting more and more nervous. There was that cloud over it. And then it does go 2-2, and you're thinking, oh, the momentum will all be with St Mirren now. But the tiredness caught up with them. I thought, great use of the substitutes of Iheanacho and Forrest. They added dynamism and a bit of energy into the game. I thought Maeda's press was exceptional from minute one as well. So that kind of set the tone for us. The fact that, you know, where's this been for the last few weeks? So, right from the get-go, that press. Cammy, the 17-year-old goalkeeper, in any other position on the pitch, you're under far less scrutiny. You look at the likes of Max Dalman at Arsenal and Rio at Liverpool. They've been kind of bedded in as young 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds. But when you're thrown into a game like that as a goalkeeper, Cammy, what's your thoughts on that from that side of it?
Yeah, listen, I felt as if the young goalkeeper had done fantastic today, handled the situation, and a situation he wasn't prepared for. Certainly at the start of the week when Shamal George was training, he'd have just been going along as the third goalkeeper, enjoying the experience, and then he finds himself on the pitch in a high-pressure situation, and for me, he handled it brilliantly for a 17-year-old kid. Done really well throughout the game, and he looked confident. The longer the game went on, I felt as if the confidence grew within himself. I don't think his teammates helped him out at times with the goals that they conceded. They could have helped him a little bit more. But yeah, listen, it's great to see that he got that experience in such a high-pressure game, and he handled it really well.
Yeah. What's absolutely incredible is that, I'll say it, we have Manchester City against Arsenal on in the studio, and we've just seen Gianluigi Donnarumma do pretty much exactly the same, not far off what Ryan Mullen did in the game at the start of Celtic St Mirren, when the ball came back to him, took a touch, tried to play out, Kai Havertz then gets in there and it deflects into the net.
It's just incredible. We're sitting here,
goalkeeper. What is going on?
I genuinely don't know what's happening today, because again, Sinisalo got away with one, with two actually, in the game, and then we've just watched Donnarumma, who's one of the world's best goalkeepers, do the exact same as what Ryan Mullen done. So yeah, it's just been an incredible day.
I think you make a good point there about the young goalkeeper coming on. What an experience it is for him. And he can be proud of his performance, but I do agree with you. I think some of the St Mirren players should have helped him out a little bit more. Some of the goals were too easy. You know what I mean? Getting too much, giving Celtic players too much space, too much time in the 18-yard box, and they just side-footed the ball by the young kid. So, as I say, he come on there, he wasn't expecting it. A young boy at 17, he come on to a semi-final. He can hold his head up. He done okay.
Scott Allen is still at Hampden for us. Josh was talking about, you know, what changed the game in Celtic's favour in extra time. What do you feel it was for you? Josh mentioned the substitutes. He mentioned the fact that St Mirren were tiring. What was this standout to you?
I don't know about tiring. I thought actually there was a few chances, wasn't there? I think Dane Murray actually gets a fantastic block from across. It looks as if it's going on target. And then after that, I think sometimes you've just got to put it down to individual pride in some of the Celtic players. James Forrest being one of them who's been there and done it. He obviously comes up with the first moment of real quality for them. And then after that, the tails are up. And I always feel if you lose that goal in extra time, especially being the St Mirren players, you are deflated. And then they just couldn't recover for that first half. After that, they then settled the games obviously away from them. But for me, Celtic just blew them away. I remember being here myself in a League Cup final with Hibs and Celtic. We scored a goal, the whole stadium was still celebrating, and Kyogo scored literally straight from kickoff. Scott, and it just shows you how quickly games can turn.
Can I tell you something, Scott? That day, Hibs have scored, and I'm in here as part of the team on the programme, and I start to say, and that could be the only goal of this game. And before I got to game, Kyogo had scored to make it 1-1.
Not good memories. We should have had a penalty in the last minute just to get that in as well. But anyway, my point is, I just felt in that first half of extra time, I think it then becomes that personal pride in Celtic's pleasure and the quality and the natural. And James Forrest, if they do turn up, then they should hurt you, and they did in that first period of extra time, and that was enough obviously to steamroller St Mirren for that part of the game.
Did they look like players with a point to prove? Maybe not. You know, James Forrest has done it all at Celtic. He's won absolutely everything. He may just feel he wants more game time than he's getting this season. Kelechi Iheanacho has had his injury issues. Did they look like two players that wanted to go out there and make a statement?
Yeah, I feel to it when you're a good side, I think connections on a pitch are crucial. And I do feel because of the ability levels of both the players, yes, James is getting older and Iheanacho isn't fit, but they're both proper footballers. So when you have that connection, and they two certainly do, James Forrest does what he does best, gets at his opponent direct, and just lifts a lovely ball into the box. It's a fantastic header, to be fair, from Iheanacho. They just look like two guys who have a connection. And getting into that split, you need to have players who have that. You look at the first half, yes, there was some good goal. Tenecchi, Maeda and Yang, there's not much of them looking as if they're on the same wavelength. We've seen Celtic wingers the last couple of years where they used to go from one side to the other, and someone would be in the back post with a tap-in, all on the same wavelength. That Celtic team, for most of the 90 minutes, don't look like a team on the same wavelength.
It's different because you talk about James Forrest. James Forrest goes back to the traditional winger. Mm-hmm. He drops his shoulder, yeah. He goes towards the byline and puts a lovely ball in there for a goal. You look at all the subs for Celtic, you know, you can put Luke McCown into that as well. He got on the goals this afternoon. So there's a lot there that... Martin O'Neill, I'll look at and think, right, okay, bit of positives, but... There's other bits of Celtic just now. It's a bit worrying getting into the splits.
Josh, what does that first period of extra time for you do in terms of maybe team selection going forward for these games? Are there players there that you feel need to play, players that maybe shouldn't play?
Well, it'll give the lads a lot of confidence moving forward, won't it? As opposed to winning 2-1, you've kind of gone in, you've played an extra 30 minutes, that could catch up with you ultimately. But in terms of winning, that was the main thing. You took the hard route to get there, but the actual extra time first period was, you know, showed what Celtic are capable of with that attacking verve and dynamism. It is in there somewhere. And I think if Iheanacho is fit, you know, he has to start the game. So that's been a stumbling block perhaps all season, that they can't keep him fit long enough. He's an exciting player. He's proved it at the clubs that he's been at. Notably Leicester, Man City, you know, Sevilla. He's been around the block. So for me, if Iheanacho is fit fully, he has to play 90 minutes and start. That would be the overriding thought from my point of view.
You have to look at the defence as well. They really have to look at the defence. Scales suspended, not playing today. But they were all over the place in the 94 minutes before we got to extra time. Second half, I kept on saying they're holding on. They're really holding on. I mean, it was ludicrous.
The goal they concede The second goal to take it into extra time is ridiculous. And again, it's so poor from a Celtic point of view. They've got two centre-halves up against man drawn. None of them take responsibility. There's 4 minutes have just been lifted, so you know you're at the end of the game. You see it out, you've not been at your best, you don't go extra time, you see it out. None of them switch on. It's just a flicked ball over the top. Nobody takes responsibility. It's a brilliant finish from Mandron, but the Celtic defence is vulnerable at this moment in time.
Well, thank you to Josh. We'll also say thank you to Scott Allen as well, who has been at Hampden along with Roger Hanna. We'll let Scott get on his way. Roger Hanna down speaking to the managers, so we'll hopefully hear from them before the end of the show. And of course, we'll hear from you as well, because we are here until 6 o'clock, and so will Gordon DL, Cammy Bell and Hugh Keevans to take your calls. 01419511025. You could be up next.
It's Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line. 01419511025.
Well, we now know the Scottish Cup final lineup that's happening at the end of this season. It's going to be Celtic against Dunfermline. It's going to be Martin O'Neill against Neil Lennon. And many people were saying that there wasn't too much drama in the Dunfermline-Falkirk game yesterday up until the end. Well, there was certainly drama between Celtic and St Mirren. 2-2 in normal time. That was with St Mirren basically gifting Celtic a goal after 55 seconds. St Mirren scored in the 92nd minute to take the game to extra time. And then Celtic scored 4 goals in the first half of extra time for a 6-2 victory. We want to hear your thoughts, because we are here up until 6 o'clock tonight. 01419511025. On the phones. Paul is a Celtic fan in Cowglen. Paul, how did you see that one today?
Evening panel, how are you doing? It was a good game for the neutrals, wasn't it? Good game.
Absolutely.
But my main point really was just right from the beginning. Going into the split, we need to start any actual. He needs to start the games. Scored 2 quick goals in quick succession. He's the best finisher by far. There's no long left in the season. I know his legs are made of tissue paper, right? But just get him one at the beginning, get a couple of early goals and settle the rest of the team down.
If Martin O'Neill thought that Iheanacho could start games, he would be starting games, but he clearly doesn't think so. So you have to take him in short spurts, and he is productive in that way, certainly. Highly productive today, scored twice, but it's not a case of Celtic have got to start with him. Celtic can't start with him because he's unable to go any more than half an hour without medical supervision.
I'm finding that very surprising with him. I agree. I think that getting into the split now, really important games, I would start him. I would definitely start him because he's come on there, he's played the extra time, he's got a couple of goals, he looks sharp. So he must have, he must be fit. It's just how long you can get out of him. Surely you can get more than 30 minutes out of him. 100%.
But wouldn't Martin Neil have him for more than 30 minutes if that was the case?
Do you know what I think he's doing, Hugh? I think he's looked at certain games like last week against St Mirren at Celtic Park and thinking, right, we've got enough in the locker, we can nurse him through this. I think they've went to Hampden today, they've looked at the same scenario, thinking, right, and they might do it against Falkirk, but I'm talking about when he comes up against Rangers and Hearts and whatever. I think he's got to take the chance and start him.
Oh, he has to. Again, we're coming to that point of the season, and Paul's right, there's some massive games coming up for Celtic, so you need to take the chance. Yes, he might break down again, might get injured, but you need to get more minutes, and I would be very surprised. Again, he's got a good 30-odd minutes in today. In his legs, and you'd be amazed if he can't last 60 minutes at this moment in time in the season. It's just about how long can you keep him fit. Can Celtic keep him fit to the end of the season? Because that's going to be key for them.
You look at Celtic's last 4 matches, which he's featured in all of them. Hadn't played for, I think it was 4 games due to injury. Wasn't in the squad for 3 of those. Started against Dundee United in that defeat at Tannadice. Lasted about an hour. In the last 3 games, he's come off the bench for 2 games, was around half an hour, and then came off the bench in extra time, or just before extra time today. Is that enough to build up fitness to the point where he should be starting
Celtic,
now?
Celtic play Falkirk next weekend, the start of the post-split fixture. 5 games separating Rangers, Hearts and Celtic from the league title. If he doesn't start next week at Celtic Park, then clearly there is some problem that Celtic know about and the rest of us don't. because if ever there was an opportunity, Falkirk shot their season to pieces yesterday with what John McGlynn described as a rubbish performance against Dunfermline. If Iheanacho doesn't start next Saturday at Celtic Park, then it's medical, not tactical.
But he does make an impact when he comes off the bench. Mm. Martin O'Neill might look at that, especially in games. And lately Celtic have been involved in some tight games. You know what I mean? St Mirren at home, 1-0, got an early goal, and the game finishes 1-0. So in big games and important games coming up, the next five is incredible for them. Then I think you've got to try and get more time out of him, because he is the best centre-forward that Celtic have got available at this moment in time.
Not much competition, to be fair.
No, I agree with that, Hugh, but that's not his fault. But no, he's got to come in and, you know, stake a claim and say, right, I need to get more minutes.
But if he doesn't start next Saturday, it's medical, not tactical.
Is there a risk factor there that Celtic think if he starts a game and they, you know, give him an hour, that potentially he might not be able to play the next week? Does it make more sense to bring him off the bench and hopefully have him available for, you know, the next five league games, but just not playing from the start in all of them?
Yeah, listen, they'll be looking at them elements. Has he got enough game time? They'll only know the medical side of things. They'll be working hard with sports scientists in there to make sure they try and reduce that risk of him breaking down again, because he's going to be so important for Celtic between now and the end of the season. So you're right, it might be slightly too early, maybe one more game that he comes off the bench, but they need to get him on the pitch from the start. I totally agree. If they can do that, and they're running out of games as well, so they need to roll the dice at some point.
Paul, do you think James Forrest could have a bigger part to play in the next six games that'll be with the Scottish Cup final added in?
I do, yeah, but I just want to go back to my initial point there. I think if you can sub him on, you can sub him off. And I think it was Cavier that said, I mean, surely at this point in the season we can get 60 minutes out of him. With only a few games left in the season, if we can get our most natural goal scorer up there, up front, because one thing as well that Celtic are lacking big time is goals. I mean, if this comes down to goal difference, we're not doing brilliant, but Celtic have started each first half well and they're giving service in the middle, but there's just no one there to pick it up. And I think if any actually started, we'd have a couple of goals up in the first half of each game that we play, at least.
He did start at Tannadice in a game that Celtic lost 2-0.
Yeah, I heard the crowd chanting Martin O'Neill's name today once they were safely over the line. I have to go back to the point. Martin O'Neill knows better than Paul, than you or me or the Dazzler or Cammy. He knows better than anybody else what Iheanacho can do for him. But he also knows what he can get out of him, when he can get it out of him, where he can get it out of him. And I go back to the point, if he doesn't start next Saturday against Falkirk, which is on paper the easiest of Celtic's five post-split matches, then only Martin O'Neill can solve the mystery of why.
Paul, what has today done for your thoughts on the title race? There are obviously some not so good parts, some good parts. What are you taking from it going back into league action?
I think Celtic just completely switched off for those last two goals. It really just seemed like they were just totally had lost the bottle. Substitutes came on, as you mentioned a minute ago. Do I think Forrest will have a big part to play? Yeah, he's an experienced player. He's won everything there is. He's the most decorated player in Celtic's history, I'm sure. So he's clearly making a difference when he comes on. Why don't we just get these guys on at the start, make a quick hit at the opposition as we have been doing in the first 45 minutes? We just haven't had anything to really show for it.
You just don't really see managers do that, do you? You know, if a player is going to, if they're only fit for half an hour, for example, of a game, it's never going to be the first half hour. I think if it was something that made sense to managers, you would see it more often. But if you are essentially sending a player out that you only think is fit for, you know, 30 minutes of action, it's going to be the last 30 minutes, isn't it?
Yeah, and James Forrest has got a lot to offer, there's no doubt. And Paul's right, he's so experienced. I love the fact he came on today. He's very direct, as I say, for the cross in, for the goal, the third goal. It was old winger style play. That's what Forrest brings you. But I think Martin O'Neill looks at the big games, and he's starting as a bit of pace with Yang down the right hand side, and if Maeda's not playing through the middle, he'll come off the left. And I think he looks at Forrest as that guy that, right, he's my back player as well. I can get him on the pitch and he can go and produce in the last 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever it may be. So it'll be interesting to see how he uses him. There's no doubt about that. I do agree with you. Hugh touched on that. Martin O'Neill would have looked at performance today. Defensively, it was too easy. It was far, far too easy for St Mirren. And you could see the goal coming. I think everybody could see that goal coming. And it was just a simple ball over the top and the two defenders get caught and it's a terrific finish. So there's a lot of work to be done with Celtic, but there's a lot of important games coming up and a lot of nervous games, not just for Celtic, for Hearts and Rangers as well.
You never know, you know, the performances are sometimes unfathomable. And then you look at team selection from week to week. Tonechty doesn't go in the park against St Mirren last weekend, starts today. Schwanchara disappears. McGregor, the captain, off. Tierney, off. I know that Kieran Tierney finds it difficult to last games now, but you're still taking off your captain as well when the fat was in the fire. So they're a peculiar lot. The squad, everyone knows, it's an open secret, the squad needs massively overhauled.
I think McGregor must be carrying a little knock.
Yeah, Martin O'Neill said as much coming into this game.
Because as much as I don't think McGregor's had a brilliant season, he's such an important player and he plays in all the games and he plays basically all the minutes. They subbed him last week at Celtic Park. They've subbed him today. They know that they'll have to keep him as well for the obviously the last five games of the split. So overall as a team, Celtic right now, they're not firing on all cylinders. There's no doubt about that. And getting into these five games coming up, the only advantage for me that they've got over the other two teams is the fact that they play more home games.
Well, thank you to Paul. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. We are here until 6 o'clock, so get your calls in now.
After the action, it's your reaction. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Celtic 6, St Mirren 2, the full-time score from Hampden in the Scottish Cup semi-final today in a game that went to extra time. 2-2 after 90 minutes, Celtic scoring 4 in extra time, and they will meet Dunfermline in the Scottish Cup final after they beat Falkirk on penalties yesterday. So it will officially be Martin O'Neill against Neil Lennon in the Scottish Cup final. Neil Lennon spoke about that yesterday. We'll hear from him a bit later on. He was saying it will be emotional if it was to happen. We now know it will happen. I'm sure Martin O'Neill will have an interesting take on it too.
Yeah, you know, he was almost visibly moved by the thought of meeting Neil Lennon manager to manager in a cup final. I don't know how individuals handle that kind of thing. You know, Martin O'Neill paid £6 million to bring Neil Lennon into Scottish football. Neil Lennon repaid him by being an outstanding Celtic player. Neil Lennon, as a Celtic player and manager, has won the Scottish Cup 4 times as a player, 4 times as a manager. The whole thing is just dripping with sentimentality, but there's a serious professional side to it, because Celtic by that time might have failed to win the title, might need the Scottish Cup to avoid a trophyless season, and it's not Neil Lennon's job to protect Celtic's reputation.
Brian, as a Celtic fan in Moss Park, a lot to get through. Brian, what stood out to you from today's game?
Stood out to me, he's like, he's been the best, he's been the greatest servant for Celtic. James Forrest, he's been there like 18 years, and he was actually wanting to leave a few years ago because he felt he wouldn't contribute enough to the team. And he's just been an absolute hero. I mean, I don't know why Steve Clark never played in the last Euros against Hungary. The guy had a great final of the season, end of the season. It's written on the goals. Forrest is just a great Celtic player, a great legend, and I love the guy. I'm not saying to be a twee, but he's been so good for Celtic.
Yeah, he did have a really good end to that season that Brian's talking about, the 2023-24 season. He'd been written off by many. People thought that he maybe wasn't able to make the same impact that he used to, had a brilliant end to the season and ended up getting picked for Steve Clark's Euros squad. Do you think he's capable of having another run? I'm not saying, you know, getting into the World Cup squad, but another run similar to that where he can make an impact and you know, really be a game changer?
I think he can be a game changer. You seen today, the minute he come on the park, everything about him was direct. He created the third goal with a brilliant play down the right hand side. He just doesn't play now as a winger. You've seen him coming inside and causing problems as well, picking up good positions. He's got bags and bags of experience. You can't buy that. I don't think he'll be a starter in the next five games, right? But I would certainly have a lot of confidence in James Forrest coming off the bench and creating something for you.
I like the course and distance aspect of it all. As I say, when McGregor and Tierney went off today, I thought, that's taking an awful lot of experience out of that Celtic side when they really need help here. But James Forrest comes into that category but can't play 90 minutes anymore. However, he has a major contribution. When you look at Tenekte, Nvuka can't even be trusted to play now. They had a look at him and thought, no. James Forrest has a major contribution to make. But again, Martin O'Neill's in a position where they're all at the tail end of their career and they have to be used sparingly.
Do you think that James Forrest will be starting games between now and the end of the season, Brian?
Of course he won't start, but he's just a great guy to bring on. He just gives his all for the team, and it's like, I've never seen Forrest having a... He's rarely in a bad game. He's a couple of against Rangers, of course, but no, he gives his all and he's got class. And he's just like, I just think he's like, the way he actually wanted to leave Celtic in the past, because he felt it wasn't good enough, not because he wanted to move, he just felt it wasn't good enough for Celtic. He wanted to actually leave that George to catch a guy.
Yeah, but when they've got players who are unworthy of playing for Celtic, and it's Celtic's fault for signing them or bringing them in loan, Forrest is deeply committed to Celtic. It's just a case of how often you can take him back to the well.
Brian, what does this do for your thoughts for the rest of the season? Celtic, of course, into a Scottish Cup final, a very good chance to win that trophy. How do you rate Celtic's chances now after seeing that today in the title race?
Can I be quick, one about you there? Bring James to the well. James always goes to the well and always survives from the well. But I think, like, guys connecting, obviously, Bellacuisha, and it's just not just... I actually thought a few weeks ago we'd lost the league, and then I've seen the fixtures and we've got four home games. Of course, we can't score goals apart from today, which is not in the league. Didn't help the goal average. Goals for. But I think I'm hopeful, but I'm not confident. I would say 50% we've chanced to win the league. But I'd utilise James Forrest when needed.
Where do Celtic strike the balance of trying to take the positives from the game, which are, of course, that first half of extra time, and, you know, trying to use those negatives and see what they can do to make sure that they're not conceding goals like they did?
I think the positives, even look at the first half, they were in control of the first half. They didn't play their brilliant best, but they were certainly in control of the game. They got that early goal, and then they get the goal right on half time that settles them down. I think the intensity will be what Martin O'Neill will say. When they drop the intensity, they're vulnerable. They'll lower other teams into the game. That's what happened today, and you've got to give St Mirren credit for that. But certainly when you look at the goals defensively, they need to be much better. That second goal, for me, just shouldn't happen. At that time of the game, you need to be switched on. You get your job done, you see the game through, and you don't need to go extra time. But again, players switching off, not playing with that intensity, that mindset of just getting the job done. So there's a lot of positives. I think the substitutions today was a real positive for Celtic. That when Martin O'Neill makes them subs, they had the impact he was looking for. And again, it'll show that them guys between now and the end of the season are going to play a huge part in what happens with Celtic.
Well, thank you to Brian. After the break, we are going to hear from St Mirren manager Craig McLeish. He's been talking about the game, speaking about the goalkeeping situation as well. I think Martin O'Neill is going to speak to the media imminently as well, so hopefully we'll hear from him before 6 o'clock, and we'll hear more from you. 0141 951 1025.
After they play, you have your say. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Gordon DL, Cammy Bell and Hugh Keevans giving their reaction to Celtic Scottish Cup semi-final win over St Mirren. It was 2-2 after 90 minutes and it finished 6-2 to Celtic after extra time. I'm not sure any of us have really seen anything like that. I'm not sure many of you out there have either. So let us know your thoughts. 0141 951 1025. Let's hear hear from St Mirren interim manager Craig McLeish, shall we? We have asked him about his thoughts on the game and, of course, the goalkeeping situation.
First of all, I'm so proud of the group with how they went about kind of large parts of the game today to lose a goal in the manner we did right at the start of the game, to then lose our goalkeeper early on in the game. I thought we reacted well to that. We settled after kind of the first 15-20 minutes or so. Losing the goal in half time's an absolute hammer blow for us. We had to regroup at half time. I thought our second half performance was excellent. We made some changes towards the end of the game to get back into the game. We brought some more attacking players on the pitch. We changed shape. That allowed us to kind of take it to extra time, and we were hoping to kind of continue that momentum and ride that on into extra time. I think if the 90 minutes, if there's an extra 5-10 minutes, we were the team in the ascendancy at that point. But the risk to make those changes and get back into the game probably then catches out in extra time. So I think he said when he went to kick, I think he's caught the ground. He's kind of pulled his thigh muscle. So we need to assess him over the next few days and see how that looks.
At the incident for the goal?
I think so, from what he said, but that was a kind of brief conversation. I'm not really sure. Grant comes in and I think that was his debut for us. I brought him to the club probably when he was maybe about 13. He's a fantastic young goalkeeper. We've got really high hopes for him. He didn't deserve that scoreline and end up the way he performed and dealt with a lot of things, because he looked nervy when he first came on, built himself into the game, made some good saves.
Did you go along with that? Didn't deserve that, to be on the end of that type of scoreline?
Yeah. Again, we're talking about a young 17-year-old kid thrown in, mentioned it before, start of the week, probably going along, enjoying the day as a third-choice goalkeeper. He then finds himself on the pitch after about 15-20 minutes. And for me, just his mentality to be able to handle such a big occasion. I thought he did fantastic in the game. He had a couple of really good saves. He looked assured at the back. His kicking was good. So, yeah, listen, it was a harsh scoreline on him. And I mentioned before as well that I don't think the experienced guys in front of him helped him, because they could have, again, got closer to shots, made it more difficult for Celtic. But he did great today, and he can be very proud of his performance.
Kevin is a Celtic fan up next. Kevin, how are you?
Not bad, thanks, guys. Not bad yourself.
Good, thank you. What's your main takeaway from today's action?
Probably the biggest takeaway for me is that, you know, I know that Celtic clearly have issues both on and off the field that they need to get sorted in the close season. But one of the big things for me, and you know, I'm in agreement with Charlie McGowan, what he said last week, is that there needs to be a proper succession plan here for when Callum McGregor isn't able to be fit. You know, because you see, as soon as you take him off the day, the team becomes disjointed. There's nobody to put out fires. There's nobody to give you that wee bounce pass just to keep possession and keep the ball ticking over. You know, I know he's been under a lot of scrutiny recently from fans online and things like that, but you actually see how big a miss he is when you take him off, because the team, the whole flow of the game completely changed when Engels and McGregor came off, but especially McGregor, because you don't have him that's willing to take the ball under pressure to help you out, you know. And it's only life that, you know, he's going to end up tiring because of the amount of games he's played, 60 games over the last 10 years for Celtic or whatever it is, every season. At some point he's going to burn out, and I think you're starting to see that. And I think Celtic have a big issue and a big problem and task in hand to replace him, you know.
Before you get the succession plan with regard to Callum McGregor, you need a succession plan for the manager's job. So that's Celtic's problem, Kevin. They have no plan about anything.
I agree, and that's why I was saying, you know, they have a lot of issues. They have a lot of issues. But, you know, somebody that's been working within the club has got to have already something in place to say, you know, here's the next three options of the type of Callum McGregor. You know, you're not going to get Callum McGregor.
No.
But there needs to be something.
Celtic have never really found that option, have they? Over the years, it's always been a talking point that there's not really been anyone that can step in when Callum McGregor is out. You've seen Celtic have tried to recruit players, and I'm thinking of guys like Ismail Assoro, Oliver Abeldgaard came in at one point. But how tough is it for Celtic to find that player that's going to be a quality option as Callum McGregor's essentially backup or his next option? But just on this point that's been made, and we'll get to the manager situation afterwards.
But surely the new manager picks who's Callum McGregor's successor.
Well, does Celtic have a next manager? Because surely they need to still succession plan for players as well.
Therefore,
Celtic can't just wait for a new manager to agree a deal and then start their summer planning then,
but that's
because
exactly
they'd be way
what,
behind.
That's
but we don't,
exactly
we don't know
what
that.
They're doing.
But we don't know that for certain. Surely there's work. There's constantly work at every football club going on behind the scenes to try work out players and options, regardless of who the next manager is going to be. So that work will be getting done by analysts and scouts. And
Are they the same analysts and scouts who brought in Wilfred Nancy?
There's another problem as well.
Yeah, the recruitment's been really, really poor.
But what I was going to say is, see, trying to find someone that is going
difficult
to play that role, because if Callum McGregor is going to play 60 games a season, you're essentially either going to pay, a big fee for someone that's going to spend most of the season on the bench, or is someone going to want to come in if they're not going to be guaranteed game time because they're going to be sitting behind Callum McGregor? How do they strike that balance?
Well, that's for a recruitment to go out and see. They've got to go and work at that. It's very hard to replace Callum McGregor. I don't think he's had a particularly good season this season. And I think it's just because of the situation at Celtic. The way we've obviously, the manager, Wilfred Nancy, and then Martin O'Neill having to come back to Brendan Rodgers. So it's been an up and down season for Celtic, off and on the pitch. But I didn't look at Cal McGregor today and think, oh, hold on a minute, he's been off the pitch. Celtic are really missing him.
Celtic scored four goals when Cal McGregor was off the pitch.
I think Callum McGregor is probably carrying a little niggle, an injury, which Martin O'Neill's obviously said, and they're just nursing him through. But you're right, they've got to come a time, because Cal McGregor will not just keep going on and on and on. There'll come a time when they have to go, whether they change different styles or whatever it may be, they have to go and get players in that position.
It's difficult though. Again, you're talking about Callum McGregor, probably one of the best Celtic players in recent history, how good he's been over the years. So to replace that isn't easy. It's not easy. You might not get it right the first time you bring in players. You mentioned they have tried to bring in players, they've not found that player yet. So yes, the recruitment's been really, really poor. We can't get away from that. It's been terrible this season, but I just don't think it's easy to replace such a big player. You're replacing a big player and a captain as well, so that's a big job for Celtic. They've got a lot to do over the summer, and yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I don't think Callum McGregor, listen, he's not the best season, but I wouldn't write him off yet either. I still think he's got a bit to go.
Can I remind you that in January, after the horror story that was Wilfred Nancy, and in the middle of a season where Celtic were clinging on, Celtic, in the January transfer window, brought in five loanees. 5 loanees. And there's no plan about succession. There's no plan about a new manager. There's no plan about anything.
Well, a lot of people agreed with that, Hugh, at the time, because of the situation with the manager. So people were saying, well, the best way to go down for Celtic is the loan market, because at the end of the season, you don't know the new manager would want to keep them, or, you know, you're spending a lot of money in transfers. Celtic have certainly spoiled wasted a lot of money, as we see with some of the players have just not been up to it, they've not been good enough. And even the five loan players, there's not many of them you would say have been a real success, would you?
Well, Kevin is asking a very simple question about McGregor and who assumes the McGregor role. And incidentally, McGregor, like James Forrest, time catches up and it's just a fact of life. The body ceases to be what it once was. But Kevin's honest inquiry about what's the succession plan, there's none.
Kevin?
It's hard to disagree with you, you know, I get that, but surely a club like Celtic and an establishment where, you know, they class themselves of, you know, being at the higher end of the scale in the sense of how well they're ran inside, surely somebody, whether it's Sean Maloney, whether it's Martin O'Neill, you know, just pinpointing these players, because obviously we've seen O'Neill and what's his name, the coach,
Mark Fothering,
watching game. Aye, Fozzie out watching games and things. You're thinking, surely somebody's taking control of this now. I also go with Gordon Dale saying, don't write McGregor off. I'm far from writing him off. I think he's the best player in the squad. He's technically gifted. He gives you a wee bit of energy. He gives you a bit of calm on the pitch. He plays the game at his pace. He can slow it down. He can quicken up. Absolutely. I just mean, when he get taken off a day, You've seen that they became panicked. There was less mobility in midfield. There was less options to play inside. Celtic lose two chances in quick succession by a wide midfielder playing a ball inside the pitch, which you would expect McGregor to pick up, but nobody's there to pick up the wee passes. And it's like somebody needs to find the successor here, because 60 games a season is going to catch up, and he's only, you know, he had that Achilles injury which kept him out for a wee bit. Celtic seemed to get through it, which was fine, but that's not going to last. You can see that's not going to last, and players are not trusting of the process as much as it is, and he's the only guy on the pitch that's going to bring calm at this moment in time for me.
Thank you to Kevin. Let's hear from Martin O'Neill, shall we? Here was his general reaction to the game.
Got off to a great start. Dyson closing down and scoring the goal. And I was hoping then that we would take the initiative. I thought we had a lot of possession. I mentioned to you the other day, sometimes maybe we should try and look forward a wee bit more quickly. But overall, we were in good control of the game. Then their first corner, Sinisala has to make a really great save, and I thought that gave St Mirren a big, big boost. And because the game wasn't out of sight, anyway, having said this, we scored just on the half-time whistle, and I just never felt really comfortable, even at 2-0. St Mirren come back into the game, 2-1, hopefully trying to see it through. They get the equaliser. Where I was really pleased about is that naturally extra time, when the players, you know, naturally really disappointed, having to raise themselves again for the extra time.
He was also speaking about a couple of players. First of all, James Forrest and his contract situation.
I would like to keep James for one more year at least, and so that he could see his career through at the football club. Yeah, I would be asking the board, I'm sure, today. And I think James would stay for another year. He has continued. He's 34, isn't he? 34. With just a little burst, you know, the 1v1s. Sorry, I'm reenacting it there. And he's given us something. He has changed a number of games for us.
Almost sounded as if Martin O'Neill was planning on staying for another year, the way he said that. Do you think James Forrest could get another year?
Yeah, I do. I think it's very hard to buy that experience. He knows the club. He's well loved around about the place. He's a very good professional. And you've seen today, he comes on and he still can make an impact. So I don't think it's just a sympathy contract. It's because probably James Forrest, day in, day out, has shown that he's still up for it. He's still working hard in training. He's still a fit lad. And as I said today, when he came on, the one thing he was positive. He got his shoulder down, ducked away from the defender. Great bit of wing play. Got a nice ball in and a goal. I think he's got a lot to offer for us.
And finally, Martin O'Neill was also speaking about Kelechi Iheanacho's fitness.
He says he is completely fit, you know. And I'm not completely sure. But he was brilliant for us. Brilliant. He took the goals magnificently. He can hold it. You can see why he's had a career.
I mean, players will claim that they are fit if they want to play football. Yep, yep. Martin O'Neill, Sean Maloney, Mark Fotheringham, see him in training every single day. They'll know his running stats. They'll have a lot more information than we do. Doesn't sound as if he's convinced.
Yeah, listen, I think certainly Iheanacho's saying that he's fit, injury-free, I would presume, and that's what he's meaning. Mm-hmm. Martin O'Neill sounds as if he's, as you mentioned, watching him in training and maybe doesn't think his fitness, his sharpness is completely there at the moment. But I think he knows how important a player he's going to be for him between now and the end of the season. So it'll be a whole management thing between Martin O'Neill and Iheanacho of how many games he can play, when he can start games, when he can come on, when he can be rested. And it's just about managing him because he's going to be so important.
He scored two goals today. They have Falkirk at home next week. If he doesn't play from the start, then Martin O'Neill doesn't think he's fit. End of story. And will only play him when he thinks he can get enough minutes out of him. But it's a very peculiar situation where you have a vastly experienced player saying to a vastly experienced manager, I am fully fit. And the manager saying, I don't believe him.
01419511025. John is a Celtic fan in Falkirk. John, what did you take away from today?
Hi panel, how are you doing? Thanks for taking my call. There's a few things I took away from today. First, delighted to be in the final, of course, but I wanted to make my point to Hugh, if I can. And it's on the background of, I guess it's twofold, a bit of journalism and a bit of refereeing and officiating to see what the panel think of it. Now, I'm sure everyone's aware that Michael Stewart on Premier Sports was unable to attend the game for various reasons. I believe the suggestion is that he was perhaps overcritical of officiating in Scotland. So I'd be very curious to know if Hugh agrees with what a lot of people feel is a bit of an overreach from the SFA. But within that context, I think if you remember, guys, watching the game, in the first half, not long after Celtic scored, Mark O'Hara jumped up, thought the ball was going out of play, and grabbed the ball with both hands on the same side as the linesman and the fourth official, which by any manner of means is a yellow card and a foul. And this wasn't a marginal decision. It was clear as day. And it, not only was it not a yellow or a foul, it was just given as a throw-in. So I'd be curious for what the panel think about what's the general state of what we're doing, and has Michael Stewart been unfortunate in his suspension, shall we say?
Having been banned by many clubs over the years, bans don't work. And I think for the National Association to impose a ban, which then allows Michael Stewart's employers on TV to make a fool of the SFA by having him in the car park at one stage with his jacket over his head, thereby really having a laugh at the SFA's expense. We on this programme have been highly critical of referees, and you highlight the Mark O'Hara situation. Of course it should have been a booking, and of course it shouldn't have been a throw-in. And why these things happen is bewildering. You can only be grateful it didn't affect anything, no material influence on anything, and Matthew McDermott otherwise handled the game perfectly. But, you know, it's a free world, and if you think the referee's having a shocker, then you're entitled to say so within the boundaries of the law as it applies to the written and spoken word.
Yeah, there have been some, you know, big decisions that people haven't been happy with this season. The one with Mark O'Hara in the first half is not going to be anything that has a telling impact on the game. However, it was just a bit of a strange one, wasn't it? Because you don't see it often. He clearly knew the ball was going out of play, but it hadn't gone out of play yet. He jumps up, tries to catch it with both hands, but the ball is still in play and it goes out for a throw. It's just one of those ones you can't really account for at
all. Listen, it's not going to impact anything, but it was a bizarre situation because he certainly looks as if he's in play, but the referee's obviously interpreted that he's not in play and he's gave the throw-in because he's not gave a foul, because if he gives a foul, he has to give a yellow card. But it was just a strange situation. I thought the referee had a good game today, actually. He was very, very quiet, which is always a good thing. They weren't talking about him too much, so I felt as if he handled the game really well. That was only that one incident. But yeah, listen, for me, the refereeing's not been great this season. I think there's been some strange decisions and some poor decisions, but... it's today I felt the referee done okay.
I've got to back him up. One thing I would always do in this show is stick up for referees and officials. I think they got a hard time. I think it's a hard job.
Yep.
But I think the standard this year, and I don't think VAR's helped them, because
no.
I think they depend on it too much now. They're waiting for it to be re-refereed the game. So, no, I don't think the officials have been great this year at all.
Well, thank you to John. 01419511025. Final chance to get your calls in next.
It's Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line. 01419511025.
23rd of May 2026 is the date Celtic fans and Dunfermline fans need to put in their diary. That is the Scottish Cup final. Celtic with quite a crazy win over St Mirren today. 2-2 after 90 minutes, 6-2 after extra time. Not as exciting yesterday at the National Stadium, but there was a dramatic end. Dunfermline beating rivals Falkirk after a penalty shootout. So that will be the Scottish Cup final. Any final thoughts? 0141 951 1025. We've heard from a couple of the managers involved in today's matches. Why don't we hear from some of the managers involved yesterday, starting with Neil Lennon? He was talking about the final and, of course, coming up against Martin O'Neill.
That's as good as it gets. We've beaten Hibs, Aberdeen and Falkirk now. So we're here, believe it or not, I can't believe him saying it, we're in a cup final. I can't, emotional, if it happens. It could possibly be Martin's last game as a manager. And for me and him to go, I've never done it before, but I mean, it'd be a hell of a story.
Yeah, it would be, I mean, it is going to be some story.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. No, it's going to be an incredible story. You can hear Neil Lennon getting emotional just speaking about it there. But listen, yesterday, that's a fantastic achievement for Neil Lennon and Dunfermline to get through to a final. He mentions the teams that they've beat, that they've not just walked into this final, they've had a tough run. Hibs and then Aberdeen, and then obviously beating Falkirk yesterday in the semi-final. Just an incredible run, incredible story, and it's going to be a fantastic occasion for all Dunfermline fans, and I'm pretty sure Neil Lennon will be looking forward to it as well.
Yeah, all we heard was Roger Hanna today telling us that Neil was taking or getting photographed with Celtic fans, a Celtic legend in their eyes. But remember, on the 23rd of May, his obligation is, whether it finishes Martin O'Neill's career on a low note or not, it's immaterial. Neil Lennon's obligation is to win the cup for Dunfermline. And what a story that would be.
Yeah, it's going to be a massive day for Dunfermline. Yesterday was a massive day for Dunfermline, a massive day for Neil Lennon as well. And he was dedicating that win yesterday to his late father, Jerry.
Yeah, I was thinking about my father. Lost him in December. He'd have loved this. So that was for him. Biggest influence in my life, not, you know, professionally and personally. So he'd have loved this. He'd have been outside with a cigarette, his fedora, his walking stick, telling everyone I told you. You know, so he'd have loved it. So yeah, I'm hoping the family, take a bit of solace in this today. And it's been difficult for us, you know, but this is, he's always been with me. I feel dead calm when I think about him. So again, I've lost him. It's a huge loss to me, but it's been I feel him sometimes, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not been an easy few months for Neil Lennon.
No. As I say, the whole situation is dripping in sentimentality and emotion. The two of them, Martin O'Neill and Neil Lennon, will have to deal with the professional aspect of it all. It's a cup final to be won. And I knew as soon as Neil hit the deck yesterday at Time Up, the emotion that he was displaying, I knew there had to be some reason behind it all. And then he said it was his dad, Jerry. So, as I say, wonderful story in a series of wonderful stories. And now on the 23rd of May, all sentimentality and emotion has to be put to one side and a football match has to be played.
Final thoughts on the phones are going to come from Ewan, who's a St Mirren fan in Paisley. Ewan, how are you feeling?
It's a tough one today to take, especially the manner that we played in the second half. I thought St Mirren were by far the better team in the second half. First half, not so much. But as the second half goes, I don't think St Mirren can get any better. 6 minutes totally killed us in the first half, extra time. But I've got to say, full credit goes to Craig McLeish, and especially the 17-year-old boy who came on in goals. Thought he'd done really well, and especially, I was at the game today, especially Alex Gogic and Miguel Fereckleton, who somehow never got man in the match, but Dyson Maeda somehow does.
Well, Dyson Maeda probably got it because of the work he put in, and they tend to go with the winning side. Dyson Maeda from literally the first minute was heavily influential. I think the most important thing for St Mirren now is recovery in the psychological and physical sense, because you've got five games. Kilmarnock are in there with you. I think we can discount Aberdeen. We'll see how Dundee are after the Tayside Derby next Sunday. But never mind who gets man of the match. Who gets man of the match the next five games at St Mirren play, that's important.
Yeah, a lot of big games coming up for St Mirren. I think they can take a lot of confidence from the second half. I think we were all saying at half time that, 2-0 down, you're against Celtic at Hampden, you're thinking, oh, it could get worse here, it could go 3-4 and it's a real poor day. But they showed a lot of courage, they tweaked one or two things, they got the ball forward, and even as the clock was ticking down, you always had a feeling that there was one more goal and it was going to come from St Mirren, and it was a terrific finish to take it into extra time. What happened in extra time? Well, just one of those situations. Celtic just went into a different gear and battered four goals by St Mirren before they could get their concentration again. The tie was away from them.
Yeah, is it a strange one, Ewan, because you say there were real positives to take despite the scoreline. Have your, you know, belief that St Mirren can, you know, stay up this season, have they been helped, hindered by today, changed at all?
I don't know. I genuinely think the players have to take a massive positive from that game today. I've got to say, before Craig McLeish came in, we had Stephen Robinson, who'd done us really well. I've got to say, probably one of the best managers I've seen in my lifetime. But today, 2-0 down, I don't see a Stephen Robinson team coming back from that. We played from the goalkeeper, we played football, we worked our way through the lines and we hit our strikers, and I thought we were really good. I just think the players need to dig in over the next few games. I think we can take points off the teams at the bottom of the league. I know a lot of teams say that Kilmarnock are coming into whatever they seem to be coming into, but I think St Mirren have got that little plus on their side that a lot of the players have been there and done that in that League Cup final as well.
Can I throw a quick one at you before the programme ends?
Yeah,
it's becoming abundantly clear that nobody in newspapers, radio or television knows what they're talking about anymore. So do you have any explanation to offer us, Ewan, over four goals being conceded in the first half of extra time? Because no one can possibly say they saw it coming.
No, of course, you like, you've got to put your credit to Celtic. They're never given inside. That first goal goes in. I think actually me and my dad were at the game. We both said when Mandron scores in the 91st minute, it was as if the St Mirren players had done it. We've been there, we've done it. And then that extra time, I think we just lost a little bit of pace, a little bit of quality. And I think Celtic just came out that first goal. And then the second goal, I thought was a little bit on the kind of lucky side, but the second goal goes in 4-2. Yeah, it's game over from there, I think.
Ewan, how are you feeling about the goalkeeping situation? I think Craig McLeish said after the game that Shamal George, Ryan Mullen will need to be assessed. They may even need to look at an emergency loan. Would you be happy with the youngster playing the rest of the season after his performance today?
I don't see why he can't. He played today and he showed that. I actually think he showed real bravery. Come on the pitch, he took the ball off the centre-halves. He was dealing with it first time. I've got to say, I think Ryan Mullen has to deal with it first time. In the first 30 seconds of the game, you can't be taking a touch, especially against a quality player like Dyson Maeda. A lot of St Mirren fans are questioning his ability, but Shamal George is a real big miss, and I think the 17-year-old deserves his chance.
Too big an ask for me.
Yep. Yeah,
I think it's too important for St Mirren, especially the position they're in. Listen, young lad can feel very proud of his performance. To get thrown into a game like that today was massive for him. But going the next five games, too important to stay in the league.
Well, thank you to Ewan. Just finally, Hugh, how do you sum up what we've seen across this weekend?
I sum it up by saying this season in Scottish football has defied all logic and reason. And I look forward to the next five games, top six and bottom six, because believe me, anything could happen.
Exactly. The Scottish Cup semi-finals are over and now it's in to the post-split fixtures. So many people have been waiting for these post-split fixtures to come around, and that is what's up next in the Premiership after a pretty crazy weekend of Scottish Cup semi-final action. It will be Celtic against Dunfermline on the 23rd of May, but lots to come before that. That's all for this evening, but the guys will be back from 6 o'clock until 8 o'clock tomorrow. But thank you to Gordon DL, Cammy Bell and Hugh Keevans in the studio. But more importantly, thank you to you for listening in and getting involved on the phones. It's Gary Spence up next with an extra hour of his Sunday night anthems.